Whether it was George Orwell warning of the horrors of Big Brother government prying and controlling in every smallest cubbyhole of our lives, or Edward Bellamy in Looking Backward warning of the potential dangers of too much technology, too fast, too uncaring, this stuff we sometimes call science fiction has always sounded the clarion klaxon cat call of, "Look out! The sky be falling!" And no one does it better, more brilliantly, than the woman whose cautionary tale we bring you this time, Connie Willis. Just give a listen to this hunka hunka burning love, Connie, titled Even the Queen.
The defense filed a motion to dismiss?
Yes, Your Honor. I have it right here.
Let me see it.
It's the universal ring, probably the defendant. They don't let you use the telephone signatures from jail.
You have reached the chambers of Judge Tracy.
No, it's not. It's my mother.
Oh.
Please hold.
Why isn't she using her signature?
Because she knows I don't want to talk to her. Oh, she must have found out what Perdita's done.
Your daughter Perdita? What, the one with the little girl?
No, that's Viola. Perdita's my younger daughter, the one with no sense.
What's she done?
Oh, but she's joined the cyclists.
The cyclists?
I know exactly what Mother will say. She'll ask me why I didn't tell her, and then she'll demand to know what I'm going to do about it. There's nothing I can do about it, or I obviously would have done it already. Hello, Mother.
Tracy? Perdita has become a cyclist.
I know.
Why didn't you tell me?
I thought Perdita should tell you herself.
Perdita? She wouldn't tell me. She knows what I'd have to say about it. I suppose you told Karen.
My mother-in-law can't be reached. She's in Iraq.
What's Karen doing in Iraq?
Negotiating a Palestinian homeland.
And meanwhile, her granddaughter is ruining her life. Did you inform Viola?
I told you, Mother. I think Perdita should inform all of you herself.
Well, she didn't. And this morning, one of my patients, Carol Chen, called me and demanded to know what I was keeping from her. I had no idea what she was talking about.
Well, how did Carol Chen find out?
From her daughter, who almost joined the cyclists last year. Her family talked her out of it. Now, Carol's convinced the medical community's discovered some terrible side effect of a mineral and is covering it up. I cannot believe you didn't tell me about this, Tracy.
Mother, as I've said twice before, I think it is Perdita's place to tell you herself. And after all, it is her decision.
Oh, Tracy, you cannot believe that. Her decision. You mean to tell me you plan to stand idly by and allow your daughter to make the mistake of her life?
Well, what can I do? She's 22 years old and of sound mind.
If she were of sound mind, she wouldn't be doing this. Didn't you try to talk her out of it?
Of course I did, Mother, but I told her all about the bleeding and the pain.
And
I didn't succeed. She's determined to become a cyclist.
Well, there must be something we can do. Get an injunction, or hire a deprogrammer, or sue the cyclist for brainwashing. You're a judge. There must be some law you can invoke.
The law is called personal sovereignty. Since it was what made the liberation possible in the first place, Mother, it can hardly be used against Perdita. Her decision meets all the criteria for a case of personal sovereignty. It's a personal decision, and it was made by a sovereign adult. It affects no one else.
What about my practice? Well, Carol Chen is convinced shunts cause cancer.
Oh, gee. Any effect on your practice is considered an indirect effect, like secondary smoke. It doesn't apply, Mother, whether we like it or not. Perdita has a perfect right to do this, and we don't have any right to interfere. A free society has to be based on respecting others' opinions and leaving each other alone. We have to respect Perdita's right to make her own decisions.
Well, this is all your fault, you know.
Oh,
I told
please.
You shouldn't have let her get that tattoo over her shunt.
Oh.
Don't tell me it's a free society. What good is a free society when it allows my granddaughter to ruin her life?
She hung up.
I really liked what you said about respecting your daughter's right to make her own decisions. Here's your robe. And about not interfering with her life.
I want you to research the precedents on deprogramming for me. Find out if the cyclists have been charged with any free choice violations, brainwashing, intimidation, coercion.
Another universal. Judge's chambers. Just a minute. It's your daughter, Viola.
Oh, God. Hello, Viola.
I just talked to Grandma. You will not believe what Perdita's done now. She's joined the cyclists.
I know.
You know? And you didn't tell me? I can't believe this. You never tell me anything.
I thought Perdita should tell you herself.
Are you kidding? She never tells me anything either. That time she had the eyebrow implants, she didn't tell me for 3 weeks. And when she got the laser tattoo, she didn't tell me at all. Twidge told me. You should have called me. Did you tell Grandma Karen?
She's in Baghdad.
I know. I called her.
Oh, Viola, you didn't.
Unlike you, Mom, I believe in telling members of our family about matters that concern them.
What'd she say?
I couldn't get through. Oh. The phone service over there stinks. I got somebody who didn't speak English, and then I got cut off, and when I tried again, the whole city was down.
Thank you.
What?
Nothing.
Grandma Karen has a right to know, Mother. Think of the effect this could have on Twidge. She thinks Perdita's wonderful. When Perdita got the eyebrow implants, Twidge glued LEDs to hers, and I almost never got them off. What if Twidge decides to join the cyclists, too?
Viola, your daughter is only 9. By the time she's supposed to get her shunt, Perdita will have long since quit, I hope. Besides, Twidge has more sense than her Aunt Perdita.
True. Oh, Mother, how could Perdita do this? Didn't you tell her how awful it was?
Well, yes, of course, and inconvenient and unpleasant and unbalancing and painful. None of it made the slightest impact on her. She told me she thought it would be fun.
It's time for court.
Fun? When she saw what I went through that time? Honestly, Mother, sometimes I think she's completely brain dead. Can't you have her declared incompetent and locked up or something?
No. No, Viola, I can't. Listen, I have to go. I'm late for court. I'm afraid there's nothing we can do to stop her, honey. She's a rational adult.
Rational? Her eyebrows glow in the dark, Mother. She has Custer's last stand lazed on her arm. Remember that time she turned her hair pink?
Tell Viola I'll talk to her tomorrow, and then call Baghdad and see how long they expect those phones to be out. And if there are any more universal calls, Bish, make sure they're local before you answer. Don't misunderstand me, class. The liberation has freed us from all sorts of indignities and scourges. But it was no panacea. In the first flush of freedom after the liberation, I had entertained hopes that it would change everything, that it would somehow do away with inequality and patriarchal dominance, and those humorless women determined to eliminate the word manhole and third-person singular pronouns from the language.
But, Judge, it didn't.
Of course not. Men still make more money. Her story is still a blight on the semantic landscape. And my mother can still say, "Oh, Tracy," in a tone that reduces me to pre-adolescence. My point is that personal sovereignty is an integral component of the rights we enjoy today in the wake of the liberation. Personal sovereignty made the liberation possible in the first place, even if the principle gives us the inherent right to make complete jackasses of ourselves in a free society.
Your Honor...
Bish, but I'm in the middle of my class.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Your Honor, but you have a phone call. I brought your portable.
Who is it?
I think it's your mother.
Oh.
She's still using the universal, but it's local. I checked.
Excuse me, class. Excuse me, please. Hello, Mother.
It's all arranged. We're having lunch with Perdita at McGregor's. It's on the corner of 12th Street and Larimer.
I'm in the middle of a class.
I know. I won't keep you. I just wanted to tell you not to worry. I've taken care of everything.
What have you done?
Invited Perdita to lunch. I told you. At McGregor's.
Who is us, Mother?
Just the family. You and Viola.
What are you up to?
Perdita said the same thing. Can't a grandmother ask her granddaughters to lunch? Be there at 12:30.
Bish and I have a court calendar meeting at 3.
Oh, we'll be done by then. Why don't you bring Bish with you? He can provide a man's point of view. Bye now.
Oh.
Where are we going?
To lunch. Have you found out anything about the cyclists?
Yes, they're not a cult.
No?
There's no religious connection. They seem to have grown out of a pre-liberation women's group.
Mm-hmm.
Although there are also links to the pro-choice movement, the University of Wisconsin, and the Museum of Modern Art.
What?
They call their group leaders docents.
Oh.
Their philosophy seems to be a mix of pre-liberation radical feminism and the environmental primitivism of the 1980s. They're floratorians and they don't wear shoes.
Or shunts. Any mind control convictions?
No. A bunch of suits against individual members, all of which they won.
On grounds of personal sovereignty?
Yeah. and a criminal case by a member whose family tried to deprogram her.
Mm.
The deprogrammer was sentenced to 20 years, and the family got 12.
Oh, be sure to tell Mother about that one. Well, here she is. And faithful Bish as well.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, Mother, dear. Viola?
What are you doing here, Twidge? Why aren't you in school?
I am. I'm remoting today with my LCD slate. See?
I thought she should be a part of this discussion, too. After all, she'll be getting her shunt soon.
My friend Kenzie says she isn't going to get one, like Perdita.
I'm sure Kenzie will change her mind when the time comes. Perdita will change hers, too. Bish, why don't you sit down there next to Viola?
Okay.
Here's a menu. This is a great restaurant. You don't have to wear shoes. And if you get hungry while you're waiting, you can just pick something from one of the garden paths between the tables.
A floritarian eatery, huh? Who picked this place?
Perdita, she told me a lot of the cyclists are floritarians.
Mm. I bet she doesn't.
You bet who doesn't?
Kenzie. I bet she doesn't change her mind when the time comes. Kenzie says a shunt hurts worse than brace.
Well, dear, it doesn't hurt as much as not having one.
Tracy, why don't you sit across from Viola? We'll put Perdita next to you when she comes.
If she comes.
I told her 1 o'clock, so we'd have a chance to plan our strategy before she gets here. I talked to Carol Chan.
Yes, her daughter nearly joined the cyclists last year.
She said they had a family gathering like this and simply talked to her daughter. And she decided she didn't want to be a cyclist after all. So I thought we'd do the same thing with Perdita. I think we should start by explaining the significance of the liberation and the days of the dark oppression that preceded it.
Mm-hmm. I think we should try to talk her into going off the Imineral for a few months instead of having the shunt removed, if she comes, which she won't.
Why not?
Would you? I mean, it's like the Inquisition, her sitting here while all of us explain at her. Perdita may be crazy, but she's not stupid.
Well, it's hardly the Inquisition. I'm sure, Perdita. Oh, there she is.
Perdita?
Karen! Karen, over here!
Oh, God, no.
Grandma Karen!
Twitch, sit up straight and put your slate down.
Tracy, my dear.
Karen, what on earth are you doing here? I thought you were in Baghdad.
I came as soon as I got Viola's message.
You told me you didn't get through to her.
I didn't. Who is this fellow? Viola's new live-in?
No.
This is my law clerk, Mother, Bish Adams Hardy. Mm. Twidge, why aren't you in school?
I am. See? Math.
I see. It's a serious enough matter to require my great-grandchild's being pulled out of school and the hiring of legal assistance. And yet you didn't deem it important enough to notify me. Of course, you never tell me anything, Tracy.
Mother, I
didn't get Viola's cry for help until yesterday. Viola, you should never leave a message with Hasim. His English is virtually non-existent. I had to get him to hum me your ring. I recognized your signature, but the phones were out. So I flew home. In the middle of negotiations, I might add.
I'm sorry. How are negotiations going, Grandma Karen?
They were going extremely well. The Israelis have given the Palestinians half of Jerusalem, and they've agreed to timeshare the Golan Heights.
Hmm.
They know the importance of communication. So, Viola, why are they picking on you? Don't they like your new live-in?
I am not her live-in. I never even met Viola Tilla today. I only talked to her on the phone a couple of times.
You must have done something, Viola. They're obviously out for your blood.
My mother-in-law, the negotiator.
Not mine, Perdita's. She's joined the cyclists.
The cyclists? I left the West Bank negotiations because you don't approve of Perdita joining a biking club? How am I supposed to explain this to the president of Iraq? She will not understand, and neither do I. A biking club.
The cyclists do not ride bicycles.
They menstruate.
Oh, cyclists. Yeah, I get it now. All this fuss is over Perdita's having her shunt removed. She's of age, isn't she? This is obviously a personal sovereignty case. You should know that, Tracy. You're a judge.
Excuse me, dear, but I did not arrange this.
You mean you approve of her setting back the liberation 20 years? I hardly think it's that serious. There are anti-shunt groups in the Middle East, too, you know. And no one takes them seriously. Not even the Iraqis, and they still wear the veil.
Perdita is taking them seriously.
They're a trend, a fad, like microskirts or those dreadful electronic eyebrows. A few women wear silly fashions like that for a little while, but you don't see women as a whole giving up pants or going back to wearing hats.
But Perdita...
If Perdita wants to have her period, I say let her. Women function perfectly well without shunts for thousands of years.
But, Karen, women also function perfectly well with concubinage, cholera, and corsets. And that is no reason to take them on voluntarily. And I have no intention of allowing Perdita...
Speaking of Perdita, where is the child?
She'll be here any minute. I invited her to lunch so we could discuss this with her.
Ha! Huh. So you could browbeat her into changing her mind, you mean? Well, I have no intention of collaborating with you. I intend to listen to the poor thing's point of view with interest and an open mind. Respect. That's the key word that you all seem to have forgotten. Respect and common courtesy.
Here comes the waitress. Hello.
Well, about time. Your service here is dreadful. I've been sitting here for 10 minutes. I don't suppose you have scotch.
My name is Evangeline. I'm Perdita's docent.
For what?
She wasn't able to join you for lunch, but she did ask me to come in her place and explain the cyclist philosophy to you. May I borrow your menu?
Just a minute.
Thank you. The cyclists are dedicated to freedom. Freedom from artificiality. Freedom from body-controlling drugs and hormones. Freedom from the male patriarchy that attempts to impose them on us. As you probably already know, we do not wear shunts. Instead, as you see, we wear this red scarf as a badge of our freedom and our femaleness. I'm wearing it today to announce that my time of fertility has come.
We had that too, only we wore it on the back of our skirt.
Male domination of women's bodies began long before the so-called liberation. With government regulation of abortion and fetal rights, scientific control of fertility, and finally the development of Amenorrhoel, which eliminated the reproductive cycle altogether. This was all part of a carefully planned takeover of women's bodies and, by extension, their identities by the male patriarchal regime.
What an interesting point of view.
Yes, it certainly is.
In point of fact, Amenorrhoel wasn't invented to eliminate menstruation at all. It was developed for shrinking malignant tumors, and its ability to absorb the uterine lining was only discovered by accident.
Are you trying to tell us, young lady, that men force chumps on women? We had to fight everyone to get it approved by the FDA. Men were against it. And the religious right. And the maxi pad manufacturers. And the Catholic Church.
Oh, they knew they'd have to allow women priests.
Which they did.
The liberation hasn't freed you. Except from the natural rhythms of your life. The very wellspring of your femaleness. We in the cyclists celebrate the onset of our menses and rejoice in our bodies. Oh, whenever a cyclist comes into blossom, as we call it, she is honored with flowers and poems and songs. Then we join hands and tell what we like best about our menses.
Water retention.
Lying in bed with a heating pad for 3 days a month.
Oh, I think I like the anxiety attacks best. When I went off the Amenorrhoel so I could have Twitch, I'd have these days where I was convinced the space station was going to fall on me.
I couldn't help overhearing. I used to have these mood swings. At 1 minute, I'd feel cheerful, and the next, like Lizzie Borden.
Who the hell are you?
Who's Lizzie Borden?
Your waitress.
She killed a parents with an axe.
The waitress?
Aren't you supposed to be working on your math?
I always wondered if Lizzie Borden had PMS and if that was wrong.
No. It was having to live before tampons and ibuprofen. An obvious case of justifiable homicide.
I hardly think this sort of levity is helpful.
Do you have wine?
Yeah, dandelion, cowslip, and primrose.
We'll take them all.
A bottle of each?
Unless you have them in kegs.
Our specials today are watermelon salad and chou-fleur gratiné. You handpick your own cauliflower from the patch up front. The floritarian special is sautéed lily buds with marigold butter.
How about a burger and fries?
I'm sorry.
Just bring her the special. Aunt Perdita loves this stuff. Trust me. Bring me the special, too.
Same here.
Bring us all the special.
I'll have the sweet peas and a glass of rose water, please.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I sounded so horrified when your grandmother asked if I were your living.
Oh, that's okay. Grandma Karen can be pretty scary.
Well, I just didn't want you to think I didn't like you. I do.
Oh.
Like you, I mean.
Don't they even have soy butter? These print materials will explain the working philosophy of the cyclist, along with practical information on the menstrual cycle.
Oh, I looked like those books we used to get in junior high. A special gift, they were called. Mm. We had all these pictures of girls with pink ribbons in their hair, playing tennis and smiling.
Blatant misrepresentation.
Excuse me, Molly. Look, there's even the same drawing of the fallopian tube. It always reminded me of Alien in the early stages.
Yeah, this is disgusting.
Do you laugh here?
Did women really do this stuff?
Oh, there's your wine.
Ah, goody.
Thank you so much. Drink up, everyone. Wine, Miss Docent?
The cyclists do not use the artificial stimulants or hormones that the male patriarchy has forced on women to render them docile and subservient.
How
long do you menstruate?
Forever.
4 to 6 days. Is there in the booklet?
No, I mean in your whole life? Or what?
A woman has her menarche at 12 years old on the average and ceases menstruating at age 55.
I had my first period at 11 at school.
I had my last one in the day. The FDA approved a menarol.
355 divided by 28 times 43 years. That's 559 periods.
Oh, that can't be right. It's at least 5,000. Give me your slate.
And they all start on the day you leave for a trip.
Yeah, or get married.
Mm-hmm. You realize, with a period of 5 days, you'd be menstruating for nearly 3,000 days. Mm. That's over 8 solid years.
And in between, there's PMS.
What's PMS? Premenstrual syndrome was the name the male medical establishment fabricated for the natural variation in hormonal levels that signal the onset of menstruation. This mild and entirely normal fluctuation was exaggerated by men into a debility.
I used to cut my hair.
Pardon me?
Once I chopped off one whole side. Bob had to hide the scissors every month. And the car keys. I start to cry every time I hit a red light.
Oh. Did you swell up?
I look just like Orson Welles.
Orson Welles! Comments reflect the self-loathing thrust on you by the patriarchy. Men have brainwashed women into thinking menstruation is evil and unclean. Women even call their menses the curse because they accepted men's judgment.
No, no, no. I called it the curse because I thought a witch might have laid a curse on me, like a Sleeping Beauty. Well, I did. It was the only reason I could think of for such an awful thing happening to me. It still is.
I think you were very brave going off the Amineral to have Twitch.
Oh, it was awful. You can't imagine.
Oh, when I got my period, I asked my mother if Annette had it too.
Who's Annette?
A Mouseketeer.
A what?
On TV.
High-res.
The Mickey Mouse Club.
There was a high-res called the Mickey Mouse Club?
Yes, my dear. They were days of dark oppression in so many ways.
Oh, crazy. Annette was every young girl's ideal. Her hair was curly. She had actual breasts. Her pleated skirt was always pressed. And I could not imagine that she could have had anything so messy and undignified. Mr. Disney would never have allowed it. And if Annette didn't have one, I wasn't going to have one either. So, I asked my mother.
What'd she say?
She said, every woman had periods. So I asked her, even the Queen of England? And she said, even the Queen.
Really? And she's so old.
She isn't having it now. I told you, menopause occurs at the age of 55.
Then there's the hot flashes and osteoporosis and so much hair on your upper lip you look like Mark Twain.
You are simply reiterating negative male propaganda.
You know what I've often wondered? If Maggie Thatcher's menopause was responsible for the Falkland War.
Oh,
Mother.
Maggie Thatcher, it's clear there is no point in trying to talk to you. You're all completely brainwashed by the male patriarchy. You're blind. All of you, you don't even see that you're victims of a male conspiracy to deprive you of your biological identity, of your very womanhood.
The liberation wasn't a liberation at all. It was only a kind of slavery.
Well, let me tell you something. Even if that were true, even if it had been a conspiracy to bring us under male domination, it would have been worth it.
She's right, you know. Tracy is absolutely right. There are some things worth giving up anything for, even your freedom. And getting rid of your period is definitely one of them.
Victor, you've been stripped of your femininity and you don't even care. Don't even care.
You know what I hated most before the liberation?
What's that?
Sanitary belt.
Oh,
and
no.
And a cardboard tampon.
Oh, no.
I'm never going to join a cycle.
Good girl, Twidgy.
Can I have dessert?
You can eat during such a conversation.
Sure, Twidgy. What's your pleasure, honey?
Sugar violet.
Okay. Anyone else want dessert? Or just more primrose wine?
Viola, I think it's wonderful the way you're trying to help your sister.
Oh, and those modest ads, remember? With those glamorous women in satin brocade evening dresses and long white gloves. And below the picture was written, modest. Because I thought Modest was a perfume.
I thought it was a brand of champagne. Oh, gee. Maybe we should forget about more wine.
Good morning, Bish.
Morning, Judge.
Universal. Karen did go back to Iraq, didn't she?
Yeah. Viola said there was some snag over whether to put Disneyland on the West Bank or not.
When did Viola call?
I had breakfast with her and Twidge this morning.
Oh. Well, it's probably Mother, then, with a plan to kidnap Perdita. Hello?
This is Evangeline, Perdita's docent. I hope you're happy. You bullied Perdita into surrendering to the enslaving male patriarchy.
I have?
You've obviously employed mind control, and I want you to know, we intend to file charges.
Oh, good news. It wasn't Mother after all.
Another universal.
What's the good of phone signatures when no one ever uses them? Hello?
Hi, Mom.
Perdita? Well, well, well.
I thought you'd want to know. I changed my mind about joining the cyclists.
Really?
Yeah, I found out they wear this red scarf thing on their arm, and it covers up Sitting Bull's horse.
Oh, yes, that is a problem.
Well, that's not all. My docent told me about your lunch. Did Grandma really tell you that you were right?
Yes.
Gosh, I didn't believe that part. Well, anyway, my docent said you wouldn't listen to her about how great menstruating is, that you all kept talking about the negative side. Bloats and cramps and crabbiness. And I said, what are cramps? And she said, menstrual bleeding frequently causes headaches and discomfort.
Uh-huh.
And I said, bleeding? Nobody told me anything about bleeding.
Well,
Mom, why didn't you tell me about bleeding?
Well,
you didn't say a word about pain and all the hormone fluctuations. I mean, anybody'd have to be crazy to want to go through that when they didn't have to.
Mm.
How did you stand it before the liberation?
There were days of dark oppression.
I guess. Well, anyway, I quit. And now my docent is really mad. But I told her it was a case of personal sovereignty, and she has to respect my decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to become a Floritarian, though. And I don't want you to try to talk me out of it.
I wouldn't dream of it, dear.
You know, Mom, this whole thing is your fault. If you told me about the pain part in the first place, none of this would happen. Viola's right. You never tell us anything.
You have been listening to Even the Queen, based on a story by Connie Willis. And in the cast you heard, Janet Carroll as Tracy, Brian Finney as Bish, Barbara Rush as Tracy's mother, Ashley Gardner as Viola, Amy Van Horn as both Twidge and Perdita, Diana Douglas as Tracy's mother-in-law, Melissa Greenspan as Evangeline, and Laura Kellogg as the waitress.